I'm on page 2 of a letter written by Bob Graitz to Z. Charnel. One may think this is an appealing kaleidoscope of scintillating colorful glimpses of what can be, but how do I digest this, or take it to heart, or otherwise make it part of my own pattern of living? How to relate this conceptual cocktail to practical affairs of life? The concerns that one has in wanting to rely on the simple basics of reading, writing, and arithmetic, how to feel empowered so that it is safe and attractive to move out into this evolutionary flow of possibilities? This is the domain you invite in the section on avoidance and evasion. I begin to want to find a way to gain a clearer orientation by being able to diagram this array of branching paths that describe a new terrain for extending awareness and to open choices for actions that one can live with. Perhaps in looking again at your document on mapping, one can find guidance there. Captivities and schemes too small, watersheds and breakover points, the upfront attention to underlying assumptions is important. It is good to be reminded of the enlightening work of those you cite relating to the discussion of modern physics. In looking at this closer, I can see that the chart for any voyage that can lead us through watersheds and breakover points must go far beyond any flat earth linear maps. And I will stop for now in order to get this letter in the mail before I venture into the further reaches of space that you conjure. If I fall off the edge of the earth, throw me a line. I like your chapter treatment arrayed on the colors of the chakra system. We need energy vehicles, including rather subtle ones. Sincerely, Bob. This next letter is a letter written by Robert Graitz to Ralph Siu, S-I-U, regarding Z. Written April the 4th, 1997. Dear Ralph, I have recently been in contact with an old friend, Z. Charnel, updating him about my interests in health services and panetics. Z is a Canadian scientist philosopher who deals with ecosystems and social issues. I am enclosing a copy of pages 1 and 2 of a letter I have just received from him. This relates a story about wild wanting, which he comments on with the observation: in order to generate a sustainable and reproducible pattern of civilization, we must displace the affinity for an indefinite delay in consequences, and the belief that there are no consequences if we don't know how or when these consequences befall us, with the belief that what we sow, we shall reap. I hadn't thought much about that dimension of panetic concern, essentially related to you paying attention to the societal consequences of the infliction of suffering. Can you agree with the observation that as a culture we encourage wild wanting with its associated suffering, making the field of law enforcement a part of the problem? What success have your friends in law enforcement had with getting out of the cultural trance of imposing control, perhaps with creativity and civility, but still in the service of a consumer society that functions to the detriment of building a humane society? Military service has the same problem of sub-optimization, being confined by an organizational framework that imposes control without taking responsibility for awareness of the larger perspective of what is a sustainable framework for civilized human development. An important aspect in gaining the needed awareness of consequences is the use of objective measures such as the dukkha to clarify the impact of infliction. I am encouraged by web searchers on the internet that identify a lot of organizations and people concerned with human suffering and with animal suffering. There are good contacts there for us to help in making available the benefits of Panetic ideas. But I am also concerned that we find better ways to call attention to how personal development can be cultivated to align with a higher social purpose that encourages true healing of our human condition. Perhaps both the police and military can evolve through Panetic education to support a larger mission that enables growth of whole persons. In the growing dialogue with educators, the function of Panetics in meeting curriculum goals, liberal, professional, vocational, that are effective in building the age of humane renaissance, can be emphasized. Thinking about the rampant consumer economics that drives wild wanting, I am reminded of some observations by another friend, Laurel Elizabeth Keyes, now passed on, who stood in the ancient wisdom tradition. As a young woman back in 1931, she recorded a discussion of happiness, noting, "While one state of happiness is when nothing more is desired, there is another state of happiness in which nothing is desired. One has everything. The other is freed of everything. Both states must be experienced by every soul, and before the goal is reached, a soul must experience to the fullest that latter state. How can people be made to desire less of things, freed of everything of the outer world, when they have found more within, finally to find the all within? Happiness is being, finding one's self, one with the essence of all that is. Cheers, Bob." Next is a letter that Bob writes to Z, April the 8th, 1997. "Dear Z, the story you sent about wild wanting is wise and powerful. I sent a copy to Ralph Sue, Panetics Chairman Emeritus, who I feel will welcome this. A copy of my letter to him is enclosed. As I noted in that letter, your story helped me to recognize how I often have put attention to social concerns on a lower priority than that of working at the level of the individual, feeling that the societal level is a more abstract domain and therefore not personally important to the individual. It so often seems that what one does or says will not make much difference in improving social conditions. However, thinking now about how culture has been defined for the Canadian Commission for UNESCO by Esser, Izumi, Wojciechowski, and others, I am reminded that this is essentially the fabric connecting us with one another. The working definition of culture was given. Culture is a dynamic value system of learned elements with assumptions, conventions, beliefs, and rules permitting members of a group to relate to each other and to the world, to communicate, and to develop their creative potential. Thanks for sending the tape script. That communicates the essence of relaxation well. I want to consider your document on captivity in schemes too small and to comment on that, but I have not been able to find where I put it. I have been reviewing file papers that have accumulated over a number of years, and I am still searching for where it could have been placed somewhere in this jungle. The situation of being trapped in schemes too small is certainly a major constraint, as reflected in my letter to Sue in commenting on sub-optimization in the military and law enforcement. Cheers, Bob."